Y'all know anybody that got refused to be a deacon and you saw them go into a tailspin and they never recovered? I've seen a couple that just never recovered, even left the church. Rejection is one of the most difficult things in the world to survive, especially from the person that you think the most of and love probably the most. And I have a great love for all bishops. There's just something about them that just absolutely turns me. It's almost like looking at God. I don't know why that affects me like that, but it's just something very special to me, and I've just been rejected by the one that I love the most. 9 months, I walked the corridors of the hospital praying for people, asking everybody that I come in contact with, has God said anything to you about me today? I'd walk up to total strangers. I said, have you have any discernment on what I'm supposed to do in my life? They say, would you get out of my face and leave me alone? Man, you're crazy. Get away. I became such an annoyance that when people would see me, they would turn and walk the other way. They wouldn't even want to pass me by because they was afraid I was going to say something to them. Would you help me out? I need a little discernment. Has God said anything? Would you pray for me for guidance? Would you pray for me for direction? I need help, oh God. I need help. Y'all ever been like that? It's the most devastating thing a person can go through. And I lived like this for 9 months. And one day, I was in San Antonio, Texas. I don't remember the exact day. I know it was in September. I know that the day was a Sunday. I had just spoken at a prayer meeting. A man came up to me and said, Charlie, you need to read this. And I said, I don't need to read that. I mean, that obviously, I don't. That is not something you read. That's something you put on your shelf. And I've already spent 3 years in this thing, and there's nothing in here but a bunch of legal religious jargon. There's nothing in here that could possibly help me. I'm not reading it. And the man said to me, Charlie, he said, I have underlined those parts that I want you to read. Now remember, my greatest horror is that I am nobody. I have no mission in life. I am no longer mayor. I'm no longer a restaurant owner. I'm no longer a property owner. I'm a drifter, and I'm going from apartment to apartment as God provides, bumming my way along, people having to bring food and leaving it on my doorstep. Folks, you don't know the humiliation of that, and if you've never been through it. And it was like this for a long time. A long time. My wife and I were a total disgrace. Even her own family began to think serious thoughts about my absolute insanity. The guy is crazy. He is out of his mind. I mean, the bishop discovered it. And now he is nothing. Look at him. He doesn't have a car. He doesn't have a place to live. He's going from place to place. He's eating food from anybody that'll give him food. I mean, look at this poor, miserable creep. My own family, my own children. I had one son that didn't speak to me for 8 years. 8 years. Have y'all been through anything like that? Some of you have. But maybe they're not talking to you for the wrong reason. I'd given away his inheritance. I was a very wealthy man, and I didn't give him anything at all. He hated me for it. Hated me. But he'll tell you today that it was the greatest thing I ever did for him. He'll tell you today. On Worst Back Road at the Willow Apartments, underneath the street lamp at 10 o'clock on a Sunday evening, the man said, I've underlined something that I want you to read. And folks, this is absolutely critical for evangelization within the church today. If you don't know who you are, and if you don't know what you believe, and you don't know how to live, you'll never evangelize anyone. And the church, this marvelous gift from God that's been given to us through the sacred scriptures and that marvelous tradition of time that down through the ages, this chain of faith and this chain of hope and this chain of life and this chain of the Holy Spirit that has been given down through the ages to this age through the magisterial teaching of the church. You and I today have the same Holy Spirit that worked 2,000 years ago in our Lord, in our Blessed Mother, in Peter, in Paul, in John, in the church, and is still working today. It's not decreased a bit. The same Holy Spirit that lived in Paul lives in us. The Peter, there's only one Spirit. It lives in us. I didn't know that. I knew that I had something in me till I read this. For all of you that brought your documents for Vatican Council II, you didn't bring them. Folks, I'm going to tell you what. If you were in the military and they give you a manual how to operate a gun, you'd learn that manual or you'd die, wouldn't you? They used to give us manuals on how to operate certain pieces of equipment. If you didn't learn how to operate the piece of equipment, when it came time, push or shove, you died. So you learned how to operate. You learned the manual. Well, folks, what I've discovered, that this book right here, without proper instructions, this thing don't make any sense at all. And what it will do, it will divide you into 10 million different pieces. If you don't believe it, look across the street. We got brothers that love Jesus, won't have nothing to do with us. Walk two blocks that way, you got another whole group that loves Jesus. They won't have anything to do with this group over here, let alone us. And we wonder why our communities are divided and our children are dying out of all of this upheaval of division. If we don't have proper guidance, if we don't have the manuals to properly discern Scripture, if it's not been discerned for us, folks, we will walk off into the very pits of the unrighteous. It's the greatest horror we have going on in the church today. And it's been going on for 2,000 years. The bishop's job, one of the great things I discovered about the Holy Spirit, the only ones guaranteed the Holy Spirit is the magisterium of the church. They're guaranteed. Because it says the church will never fail. The kingdom of Satan will never destroy what? The church, the guarantee of the Holy Spirit has been given to the church. God, the devil can't destroy it. It preserves us. It's salt. It's refreshing. It's, folks, that's what we got. But nobody wants to read the manual to learn how to operate it. Huh? Listen to what I read. This is the layperson. That's what I've been reduced to. I have been busted all the way down from high up all the way down to nothing. Just a speck on the floor, just a little old worm crawling around going, oh God, maybe one of these days, there's a little log cabin back out there in the back 40s that you'll bring me in. This, oh, woe is me. Don't y'all kind of feel sorry for yourself? Oh, God, they don't understand me. They don't appreciate me. They don't know the ghost, Holy Ghost that I got in me. If they knew, they would set me up on a pedestal and surely worship me. Amen. Then I read this. This is 2,500 bishops that gathered in Rome under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to discern the church. To speak to the church. Who is the church?
I am.
See, now we got a mixed bag. Some of them said we, some said I, some said them. I'm a church. Didn't y'all hear this morning that we are temples of the Holy Spirit? God builds his own church. No man can build a church for God. God builds his own church. God is building this church, and he does it through the magisterial teaching, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that's been given and guaranteed that it would always be here, that it could not be destroyed. Well, y'all don't know how that sits with me. Now, I've got nothing against nobody else. God said there would be many that never belong, but they're working for him. He said, who's he working for out there? Well, he's working for you. Well, leave him alone. Leave him alone. In fellowship with him. Praise the Lord, brother. Amen. Don't ever criticize anybody. Amen. But folks, I want to tell you, the mission of evangelization has been given to us. I don't know why God did that, but he must have a reason. Let me tell you, when I discovered that, I know I'm going to run out of time, but I'll read this in a minute. I was invited to go to an itinerant evangelist congress for all the lay itinerant evangelists of the world. And it was held in Amsterdam, Holland. I was the only Catholic evangelist there. Out of 5,000 men, I was the only one there. And I sit there for 2 weeks wondering, God, what did you, why was I invited to this? I don't understand this. God, they don't, and see, I already knew this. They said, I was thinking to myself, they don't know. They ought to be up there letting me preach. They don't have, their understanding is okay, but there's more. There's more. There's more. Amen. There's more. And folks, what we've got, our faith, when we begin to have understanding in our faith, we'll get to a certain point and we'll stop. And then we only want to do those things we understand. Then you have no faith at all. It doesn't say now it's impossible to please God without understanding. It's impossible to please God without faith. There's got to be areas of my faith that's alive and locked into areas that I don't yet understand. Our church has got so many things I don't understand. I use a lot of faith. There's very few things that I do understand. Amen. And the things that I understand are geared toward me. This is what I understand. In that meeting with 5,000 other attendant evangelists, God spoke to me. He said, I am passing the torch. I'm passing the torch of evangelization to you, to this church. I got right up out of my seat. I walked right outside, got me a taxi right. I was in Amsterdam, Holland. I went right to the airport. My ticket was not due to leave for another week. I walked up to the thing. I said, brother, I hope there's a little bit of tinge of mercy in your heart. And I throwed my ticket on the table. He said, well, of course, I got a seat that's leaving in 15 minutes. You're on the plane. And I was back in the States, knowing that the torch had been passed us. We got the torch now, folks. You got the torch. You got the torch. You got the torch. You got the torch. And I'll tell you, if we can open up to the fire, it's going to be persecution in it. There's suffering in it. There's denying in it. But if you can open up to it, the world in this generation will be saved. In this time, it'll be saved. It'll be saved. Jesus has already saved it. We just got to get the word out. Listen to this. From the fact, this is the foundation. We've been talking about foundations. This is your foundation. From the foundation, from the fact of your union with Christ the head, flows the layman's right and duty to be apostles.
I looked at that, I said, what? I never read this document before. What is this? This is the decree on the apostle of lay people? I'm an apostle? You know what the first thought that trucked through my little mind, my little pea-picking, stewed-up, insane mind? Listen to what comes trucking through. That's bigger than a deacon. There I go, looking for a position again. But God, you know, He builds on the insanity of man with the power of His Holy Spirit, if we'll let Him. Now listen to this. Now, if y'all think that's big, listen to how I became an apostle. Inserted as they are into the mystical body of Christ by baptism. Inserted into this mystical body, inserted to this marvelous gift, inserted to this role of an apostle by baptism, and strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit in confirmation, the gift of the Holy Spirit that is guaranteed to the church. Listen, guaranteed to the church. In confirmation, I was guaranteed the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Took some of you longer than that. Inserted in. It's a gift. Folks, when you're inserted in, you don't put yourself in. Something else puts you in. God puts you in. The church puts us in, brings us into this reality through baptism and through confirmation. It says, it is the Lord Himself that you are assigned to this apostolate. God chose me. God picked me before the foundation of the world was ever laid. I didn't choose me. The bishops didn't choose me. The bishops didn't even choose themselves. God picked them. Amen. And their job as teachers of the faith are to instruct me how to get off into this. It keeps the body together. It does not distort or put the body in shambles. It does not divide the body. It unites the body. Amen.
Amen.
Folks, I'm going to tell you, we're in for the greatest revival that the world has ever seen, and I don't know why God's allowed it to start here. But I sense that we have a lot of attention being given to this little old humble place here in this little old... I mean, y'all been robbed yet? What a place to start something. I mean, what possible good could come out of St. Anthony of Padua's community? It's a drug-infested community. We ought to be over at the cathedral. I was, and they run me off. This is the only community that would accept me. They were. It is the Lord Himself that you have been assigned. This is a gift from God to you. To you. Now, can you offer? Can you accept it? Can you receive who you are? Can you receive it? That's who you are. Can you accept it and begin to be stripped of the materialism of the world so that God can begin to paint in your mind the beautiful picture of who you really are? And it's not what you have that makes you important. It's who you are that makes you important. And unless this interior is stripped away, you'll never experience the beautiful inside in here. If they are consecrated, a kingly priesthood. It is in order that they may in all their action offer spiritual sacrifice and bear witness to Christ the world over. I am to be a consuming sacrifice proclaiming the good news of God simply because God has chosen me. I have been baptized and confirmed by the power that's been given to the church through the sacred scriptures, through the tradition of time, through the apostolic teaching, I have been given the truth of God's Holy Spirit. And it will evangelize the world. It will. Because God wants it, not because I want it. Can you imagine what I did with this when I discovered it? Think about it. Just give yourself 2 minutes. No, 2 seconds. That's long enough. I got to leave. I ran back to my bishop's office. I was fuming. I said, Bishop. I walked right into his office. I didn't announce myself. I walked in and I took this book and I slammed it down on his desk. I said, did you ever read this? Yeah. I helped write it. I helped write the manual. I said, you what? He said, I helped write it. I said, why in the hell ain't you out telling people? And he looked at me and he said, oh, that's the role of an evangelist. That's your job. You go tell them who they are. I got too much other things to do. Get out of here now and go tell them. Go teach them the manual. You know the company commander don't teach the manual. Y'all know that? He sends a sergeant along to teach the manual. Y'all know that? A bleeming sergeant or a corporal. I used to teach the manual on a 60-millimeter mortar. I had the manual. They let me carry it for about 2 years and jump with it till I felt like I knew every part. I mean, I could take it apart blindfolded, put it back together, set it up, and feel a thing and have an azimuth to shoot to where I know I could hit 150 yards out there. I could buy off. I could do it blindfolded. I didn't know all that training would turn into this. God builds on nature. Obedience. Our biggest problem, folks, is we are not obedient to be instructed. Well, now, and listen, anybody that comes by that has something to say, hell, that's what I'm going to do. Then somebody else comes by, well, that's what I'm going to do. Somebody else comes, oh, well, he's got the drunk. But you see, we've got to be preaching what the bishops have said about Scripture and who we are. I did not write this book. I'm not teaching Charlie Osborne's theology. I'm teaching the life that developed out of learning the theology of my life. Amen.
Amen.
And your life is here too. Listen to this. In its desire, this is the introduction of the manual. In its desire to intensify the apostolic activity of the people of God, the council now earnestly turns its thoughts to the Christian laity, the common priesthood. Mention has already been made in other documents of the laity's special and indispensable role in the mission of the church. Indeed, the church can never do without the lay apostolate. The church can never do without the lay evangelist. It never has been able to do without it. If we do without it, it'll become clerical. We will be known as a clerical church. It's called clericalism. And the bishops had to address that in Vatican Council too. And they said, clericalism has got to go. We got to raise up the whole priesthood. That's us. Are y'all ready to answer the call? You're going to be challenged all week. All we're going to do is tell you who you are. Now, can you accept who you are? Can you really accept it and begin to study to show yourself approved so that at that moment of time when you are challenged to share your faith, you will be pop, 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 pop. You'll be able to set that thing up in the dark. You won't have to stop and think about it. You'll say, you just pop, 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 pow. You won't have to think. I mean, you'll open your mouth and it'll run for an hour. They'll say, that's enough. I don't know. Once you know the manual, once you understand the instructions to the book, I never, never, ever go anywhere and teach this first. I always teach this. Because if you don't know who you are, this thing will screw you and your mind right into orbit. And you will fall off to your own whims and your own desires and be left in total disarray. I see it all the time. We see ministries raised to great heights and they crash in days. Just crap. Y'all seen any of that? Because there's no authority and there's no proper teaching. Not criticizing. But you see, what we're doing is going to last. Amen? Because it has the true Spirit of God. Now, I'm not saying that these others don't have the true Spirit of God. I can't say that because everybody has been anointed. Everybody is set apart. Everybody has the measure of faith. What I'm saying is a faith and a spirit that stays and remains and it's zealous and it doesn't get tired and it goes and it goes and it goes and it goes and it keeps on going and it produces and that fruit produces and it produces more fruit and more fruit and more fruit for generations and generations, for years and years and hundreds and thousands of years. It's been going on since Christ and it'll keep going on. Because in the next 100 years they'll be preaching the same thing. This won't change. This won't change. Now, they'll take some of this and improve on it, especially after we begin to live it and they see, oh, they're living this thing. Now we can refine it and define. We can even get it clearer. But it'll always have to make reference to this. The scriptures here, in that very first opening, the bishops take Acts 11, 19 through 21, Acts 18 through 26, Romans 16, 1, and Philippians 4, 3. In that one paragraph, they used a whole bunch of scriptures. And what we did, and I'll give it to you tomorrow, not going to give it to you today. We got permission to type up this document and put the scripture references in with the dialogue of the bishop. So when you read the bishop's words, you can read the scriptures that they're making reference to and they apply to your life. And you will then begin to know how you're supposed to live. And the struggle is on. I sure do love you, wonderful saints. Take a break and we'll see you again tomorrow.